Hello there, this is your host Trudy Scott on the Anxiety Summit Season 2. I'd like to welcome you to yet another fabulous call. I am your host. I'm a certified nutritionist and known as a food mood expert. I'm also the author of the Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. Today's topic is take magnesium and melt your anxiety away, the mineral biochemistry of anxiety. Our guest expert today is Dr. Carolyn Dean. A very big welcome to you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much, Trudy. It's good to be here and having a topic that is so important, and has anxiety has become epidemic, and I'm really happy to be part of this summit to try to give people some tools to work with.
Great. And you are calling in all the way from Maui in Hawaii. I'm so jealous.
Where are you, Trudy?
I'm in Northern California, Sacramento.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yes, you're close to what the paradise used to be, and then paradise moved to Hawaii.
Yeah, we're close to the Tahoe Mountains, which is beautiful, and we're not too far from the ocean, so we get a bit of each, which is nice. But I do love Hawaii, and I know a lot of other people do too. So we thank you for speaking to us all the way from Hawaii. So let me read your bio, and then we'll get right into it. So Dr. Carolyn Dean is a medical doctor and a naturopathic doctor on the cutting edge of the natural medicine revolution since 1979. She is working on several patents for novel health products, including the iCell and the basic ingredient of RNA drops. She also produces unique magnesium called REMAG and a multiple mineral product, RELITE, that are 100% absorbed at the cellular level. Dr. Dean is the author and co-author of 33 health books in print and e-books, including The Magnesium Miracle, Invisible Minerals Part 1 and Part 2, Death by Modern Medicine, IBS for Dummies, The Yeast Connection and Women's Health, Future Health Now Encyclopedia, Everything Alzheimer's and Hormone Balance, and over 100 Kindle books. Dr. Dean is on the medical advisory board of the nonprofit educational site Nutritional Magnesium Association. Her magnesium outreach has won her an award from the Heart Rhythm Society in the UK for outstanding medical contribution to cardiac rhythm management 2012. Dr. Dean has a free online newsletter and a valuable online two-year wellness program called Completement Now, and runs a busy telephone consulting practice. And you can find out more at Dr. Dean's website, drcarolyndean.com. That's drcarolyndean.com, and her other site, rnareset.com. And you actually have just received another award, haven't you?
Yes, Trudy, it's an Excellence in Integrative Medicine Award. This was up near Washington in Cambridge, actually. And many of the integrative medicine doctors attended, and we received awards. And it was a wonderful celebration of what we're doing to try to promote natural health more than the allopathic model that does not seem to have much for us in terms of chronic illness and also prevention. So it was good to be with my fellows in receiving this award, and I thank you for mentioning it. You can go to my Facebook page, and I do have some discussion about it, and people can actually see the talks and see the acceptance speeches.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. That's really great.
Thank you.
So we're going to hear today about the importance of magnesium when it comes to anxiety and some other health conditions. And there is so much research on this topic. And Carolyn's book has, great amount of information. She's going to share some great information today. And I just wanted to share one very recent study. This was published just this year, 2014, called Essential Elements in Depression and Anxiety, Part 1. And this is a paper just saying how essential minerals are in psychiatric disorders, particularly depression and anxiety. And they're saying that essential elements such as zinc, magnesium, lithium, iron, calcium, and chromium are so important for anxiety and depression. And this is just one of many studies. So we're going to start now and learn as much as we can from Carolyn, who is an expert in this topic. And I would love to just start with how important magnesium is, and how important is it compared to calcium?
Yes, I think I begin by saying that magnesium is responsible for 700 to 800 different enzyme systems in the body. This is biochemical enzyme systems. And the next highest one, I believe, is zinc at about 180. So magnesium, 700 to 800. And having that actual quantity, that amount of biochemical reactions, means to me that it's integral in just about everything that's going on in the body. And you can start with simple energy mechanisms. The ATP or adenosine triphosphate is created because you have magnesium supporting each biochemical reaction. In fact, there are 8 biochemical reactions in the Krebs cycle, which is the energy cycle. And 6 of those 8 steps require magnesium. The energy is made in mitochondria, and I think a lot of people now are hearing about how important mitochondria are, and we can take mitochondrial factors and do this and do that for the mitochondria. Well, the best thing to do for the mitochondria is to take magnesium. And oftentimes in the more recent research in nutritional products, people are going to esoteric supplements and they're forgetting the basics. So that's why I'm constantly talking about magnesium as if it's the only mineral, but I want to make sure people start with magnesium. In terms of how it relates to calcium, what happens there is there's a balance between calcium and magnesium. They are working together in kind of a seesaw. If there is too much calcium, then the magnesium is actually pushed lower. If there's enough magnesium, it can help actually solubilize the calcium and make it or direct it toward the bones rather than allowing calcium to precipitate. What's happened in the past couple of decades is women especially have been told to take high doses of calcium to prevent osteoporosis. Well, in one 10-year period, while people were taking all this calcium, the incidence of osteoporosis rose 700%. Also, we have an increase in heart disease in women. 6 studies show that women who just simply take calcium supplements are at a much higher risk of heart disease. And what's happening there is the calcium precipitates in the arteries and causes atherosclerosis. You also have an increased incidence of gallstones, kidney stones, heel spurs. Fibromyalgia, scar tissue is created with calcification, and breast tissue calcification. Women who get a mammogram and are told, oh, you have calcium in your breasts, you know, could be cancer, they're subject to more mammograms and even biopsies, and some of them are told they have DCIS, disseminated intraductal carcinoma, and they're terrified simply because they've been taking too much calcium, or it can be that they just don't have enough magnesium. 100 years ago, we were able to get about 500 milligrams of magnesium in the diet, and now we're lucky to get 200. Whereas calcium, especially if people are eating dairy products, you're getting a lot of calcium. And the mechanisms in our body actually favor grabbing and holding on to calcium, which is done by vitamin D. When you're taking vitamin D, it pulls in calcium. When people are taking this high-dose vitamin D now, it pulls in more and more calcium. And actually, it makes you magnesium deficient because in order to metabolize vitamin D, you utilize magnesium. So with this excess calcium causes tightening of the muscles, And magnesium helps relax the muscles. If you have too much calcium, your muscles get tight, and in the extreme case, you can get angina or even a heart attack from the heart muscles being tightened. The highest amount of magnesium in the body is in the heart muscle, so we really need the magnesium for that particular muscle and all our muscles. As it relates to anxiety, then, if you have someone who has too little magnesium and therefore their calcium is higher, they're going to have tight muscles. Those tight muscles are going to make them feel tense and irritable, and they don't know where that's coming from. If they have low magnesium, you don't sleep as well. There are mechanisms with the brain neurochemistry and the adrenal glands that cause us to relax, as well as having muscle relaxation. If you don't sleep well and you get up the next morning tired and irritable and fatigued, then that travels with you through the day. If your magnesium is low, your adrenal glands, which require a lot of magnesium, they get kind of trigger happy, and you can start getting adrenaline surges when you're under stress. And for example, you're driving across a long bridge and your blood sugar goes low, then your blood sugar being low will trigger adrenaline to push up your blood sugar, and you'll have an adrenaline attack that you won't know is related to your blood sugar, but you think you're having an anxiety attack or panic attack. You go to your doctor with that story, and that's when you start being put on anti-anxiety medications for a magnesium deficiency.
Crazy, isn't it? Really crazy. And it's very interesting that you mentioned the connection to vitamin D, because a lot of people are testing, finding their D is low, and then getting on D supplements. And if they're not taking into their account the connection to calcium and not getting enough magnesium, that's going to cause more of a problem.
Correct. And enough people are benefited by taking vitamin D that people say, oh, well, it's okay. It's an anomaly that you aren't helped or you're made worse, or people don't even realize. The only reason I realize about the vitamin D and magnesium connection is my clients, I do telephone consultations, they'll get back to me and say, well, my doctor had me go on this high-dose vitamin D, and it can be 50,000 international units, where the old RDA was 400. So they're put on 50,000, and they'll tell me, I thought my magnesium deficiency was under control, but I took vitamin D, and I started getting heart palpitations and leg cramps, and my migraines came back, or I had a seizure, or I had angina, and heaven forbid, heart attack, because of my vitamin D. And some people, it takes them a while to realize that. So I've been blogging a lot about it just to make people aware. If you take vitamin D, you really need to take magnesium, and you really don't need high dose, because actually vitamin D is a hormone. And a hormone has a feedback mechanism where if you've got enough of what the hormone is doing for you, the hormone will stay low. In other words, if the vitamin D has worked properly and you've got a lot of calcium, then you don't need as much vitamin D. So people are misinterpreting the level of vitamin D and thinking, oh, it's a vitamin, it's low, we need more, without looking at the mechanisms. So just to repeat, when you have low vitamin D, it implies that your calcium is high. Calcium may not be that high on a blood test, but in relation to magnesium, if your magnesium levels are low, then your calcium is relatively higher. And the body will observe that fact. I mean, the body is a genius. It has worked all this out. The reason why it grabs calcium so much is because of the anthropology and of evolution, where humans grew up around seashores and oceans where there's three times the magnesium in seawater than there is calcium. So the seaweed and the fish and everything that they get from the ocean will have a lot of magnesium and not that much calcium. You'll get calcium in the fish bones, and that's about all. So the body says, well, we need a lot of calcium for our bones, so it holds on to calcium for dear life using vitamin D. And the magnesium, the fail-safe of having too much magnesium, is a laxative effect. And that's where people get in trouble with the magnesiums that they're taking today, is that if they take all their magnesium in one dose, or they take a type of magnesium that's very poorly absorbed, then they can get the laxative effect and say, oh, well, I can't take magnesium, it made me sick. Then they've lost their ability to treat their magnesium deficiency condition. So we can talk about that a little more in the different types of magnesium, but that's kind of the overview of why calcium is taken up more by the body than magnesium. And now we've turned the tables even more because we have such a high calcium diet.
Great. So lots of great points there. I'd like to go back to one or two of them if we could. The comments about the vitamin D. So what you're saying is that our vitamin D may look low, but in actual fact, it could be that our calcium's too high, and we could rectify that to some extent by increasing our magnesium, because that's going to balance out the calcium, and then we may not need as much vitamin D.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, take more magnesium and it'll balance things out. And then we can look at food sources of vitamin D, like fermented cod liver oil, and getting it from the sun rather than thinking we have to use high-dose vitamin D to try to force it to go up.
Great. And that was going to be my next question. The 50,000 IU, it seems so extreme, and also it's not how the body would be making it if it was making it. So to give it in a huge dose like that once a week is not really mimicking what the body would be doing. So you're not in favor of doing that, and I am.
Correct.
I'm feeling the same way. Okay, great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the fermented cod liver oil. So does that mean that you are not in favor of any vitamin D supplementation, or if someone was really low despite the fact that they were supplementing with magnesium, would you recommend vitamin D as well?
I do recommend vitamin D. I take some myself. I do the fermented cod liver oil with butter oil. It's Blue Ice Royal from a company called Good Pasture. And that has your vitamin D, your vitamin A, and vitamin K2. Because when you go along the vitamin D story, you come to K2 as the other vitamin that helps direct calcium into the bones. So when you're taking a food source of vitamin D, then the body utilizes it and absorbs it. The 50,000 unit of vitamin D that you mentioned, that's a synthetic vitamin D2. But even the so-called natural vitamin D3s, they're made from sheep lanolin. So that's not a food source that I don't think the body can really utilize. I can't be 100% specific about why not to take something like that, but I just find with my clients and their sensitivities that they do better on the Blue Ice Royal fermented cod liver oil source of vitamin D. That's the vitamin D I took when I was a kid. It's a cod liver oil.
Yes.
Most of us did. Yuck.
Yes, go back to basics. Our moms knew what they were doing, and our grannies knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
great. And then, so thanks for that. And that's a really good tie-in with the calcium and the magnesium ratio there. And then the other thing I wanted to just go back to is the connection with magnesium and the heart, and you mentioned some symptoms if you've got low magnesium, because we're seeing very strong correlation between heart disease and stroke and anxiety. And can you talk a little bit more about the effects that it has on the heart?
Yes, the heart is one big muscle, and it depends on calcium to contract the muscle and magnesium to relax the muscle. So if they're out of balance, and I should say now that the balance is about 600, 700 milligrams of each every day. Calcium, you can for the most part get that in your diet or add some fermented dairy or add some bone broth. And magnesium, though, you do have to supplement. And when you have that balance, then the heart will contract and relax properly. If you don't, then you can get a contraction around an area of the heart, a natural pacemaker area of the heart, that can cause heart palpitations. One of the awards I think you mentioned was the Heart Arrhythmia Award that I received for my work with educating people about magnesium and heart disease and arrhythmia. And I have had countless emails from people who said they have had even atrial fibrillation and taken properly absorbed magnesium and been able to overcome their atrial fibrillation, get off their medications, because as far as doctors are concerned, when you have any sort of heart disease, you're going to be on medication for life. And that has only transpired, I think, because we've gotten into a situation where people are very magnesium deficient. They're anxious, they're irritable, their heart will start jumping and racing. Racing is what happens first, and that's attributed to anxiety, or your heart's racing because you're upset, your adrenaline is going, but it can be magnesium deficiency. You go to your doctor with these symptoms, and you're told your blood pressure is elevated. So right away you're put on diuretic drugs that will drain your magnesium even more. And the scenario goes on. A month later, you come back, and your blood pressure is worse. And your doctor will say, oh, we just caught your blood pressure in time. Here's two more drugs for your blood pressure. And one of them is a calcium channel blocker. So they have that right. You know, we have to block the calcium from causing the muscle to go into spasm. But they don't realize that magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. Nobody ever mentioned magnesium in medical school, so it's just not on their radar. So 2 months later, you come back and your blood pressure is still not very good, but you have blood drawn to make sure the drugs aren't harming your liver, and all of a sudden, your cholesterol is elevated and your blood sugar is elevated. Now, your cholesterol depends on a magnesium enzyme to balance cholesterol. If you have too much, it brings it down. If you have too little, it brings it up. It's done through the mechanism of magnesium. But the statin drugs, they kill that particular enzyme. And as well, they cause more magnesium deficiency because many of the statin drugs actually have a fluoride molecule attached. And that fluoride molecule will bind up more magnesium, and the magnesium fluoride that's created is, it's called cellulite. It's a very brittle substance that deposits in your muscles and your joints and your tendons. And when you look at the drug Cipro, the antibiotic, it has a fluoride molecule, and one of the black box warnings on it is it causes tendon rupture. So the diabetes, in medical textbooks, it says that magnesium deficiency is a sign of diabetes. So in fact, your doctor, by giving you now these five or six drugs, has caused more and more magnesium deficiency, more and more disability, and that's why doctors say you'll never get better, you have to keep taking your drugs. And when you go to your doctor and say, I'm taking magnesium and I think I can come off my drugs, they do not believe you, and they'll scare the living daylights out of you and tell you you have to keep taking your drugs because they never see people getting better.
Great. And you're so right how you just get put on more and more and more drugs because more and more mm-hmm. problems are being caused. And I can see at the end of this progression or somewhere along this process, someone's having heart palpitations, they're feeling more anxious, they're feeling very tense, and they put on either an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication, and then that just adds to the whole mix, making things worse.
Yes, it's right, Trudy. And I should say at this point that Prozac, the premier antidepressant, has 3 fluoride molecules. So its side effects include impairing brain function, tic spasms, neurological agitation, all magnesium deficiency symptoms, sexual dysfunction. It lifts the mood in some people to the point that they have enough energy to commit homicide or suicide, but it doesn't relieve their anxiety or depression. So yes, we're in a very vicious cycle of drug side effects being treated with more drugs because doctors don't want to think that they're causing people these side effects. So they really ignore side effects. And yet you read the labels and you look at the data. I mean, there are an average of 75 side effects with every drug. And some drugs have hundreds of side effects. So we're in a very, very strange situation, which itself is enough to cause anxiety because people will hear about these drug side effects and they go into the doctor, they're already anxious, they don't want anything to be found, they don't want to have to go to hospital or be put on medications, and their blood pressure is going to be elevated just for the what we call white coat syndrome. And it's just one of the stressors. You know, there's stressful events. I mentioned low blood sugar is stressful. The adrenaline starts pumping, and then your heart will race just because of stress. And if you're low in magnesium and your heart muscle is irritated around your pacemaker, then you'll get a heart arrhythmia. I can't tell you how many people have said that they've felt anxious, and then they develop this heart arrhythmia. And the doctor, as you mentioned, Trudy, will give them an anti-anxiety medication and heart medications, and then they're depleted even further and further.
Yep, very sad. I would love a little bit more clarification on the comment you made about Prozac and having the 3 fluoride molecules. Could mm-hmm. You talked earlier about how the statins have this fluoride molecule that binds up the magnesium. Is there anything more that you could share on this fluoride magnesium connection? Because that's very interesting to me.
Yes, of course. A number of years ago, pharmaceutical companies started adding fluoride molecules to their drugs to make it more effective. What the fluoride will do is help cross the cell membrane and put the drugs right inside the cells immediately and make them stronger and therefore make them irritating to the mitochondria and the internal workings of the cell as well. But the fluoride part of these molecules will bind to magnesium and making this compound, a brittle compound, it replaces magnesium in the bone and cartilage, making the bone prone to fracture. So I think it's one of the causes of osteoporosis. And fluoride is everywhere. It's not just in drugs. It's in drinking water and in any product made with water. It's in toothpaste. I think it was doing one of my modules for my 2-year online wellness program. I went into a drugstore and just about every toothpaste had fluoride in it. Mm-hmm. So that it's hard to get away from it. So the 20% of all drugs have added fluoride, but that really doesn't sound as dangerous until you see that the majority of the commonly used drugs are fluoride drugs.
Could you mention a few of those that are the
yes,
common ones?
Good idea, yes. Cipro, I mentioned, that's the antibiotic that's causing tendon rupture. Prozac has 3 fluoride molecules. Paxil has 1. Lipitor has 1. This is so ironic. There's an antiarrhythmia drug called Flecainide that has 6 fluoride molecules.
Wow.
6. So that, you know, you're taking, you've been given this drug to treat your arrhythmia, and even the side effects that are written down, easy to find online, are a fast, irregular pounding or racing heartbeat or pulse, shortness of breath, tightness in the chest, and wheezing. And I didn't mention that asthma is one of the signs of magnesium deficiency. The nerves can be burning, crawling, itching, numbness, prickling, pins and needles, or tingling, and chest pain. And the nerves, as much as the muscles, are regulated by calcium and magnesium. If you don't have enough magnesium, the nerves start firing, and they don't quit, and they will cause these tingling, twitching sensations. Here's a drug, an inhaled anesthetic called desflurane. So when you have surgery and you come out of surgery and just feel horrible and they can't explain why, it could be because of magnesium deficiency. Desflurane has 6 fluoride molecules. And when you're under anesthetic for several hours and you're breathing that drug in for a long time, you're getting a lot of medication. The side effects of desflurane are bradycardia, hypertension, arrhythmia, and tachycardia. Prevacid, wow, the antacid, has 3 fluoride molecules. And one of the symptoms of magnesium deficiency is spasming of your esophageal sphincter and the upper part of your stomach to cause heartburn. So I treat heartburn and GERD with magnesium, and they're treating it with Prevacid with 3 fluoride molecules that causes more muscle cramping, magnesium deficiency. The side effects are muscle spasm, arthralgia, cramps, fibromyalgia, and back pain. And the FDA, I think it was just this year, gave a warning that these proton pump inhibitor drugs may cause low serum magnesium levels. And for them to say that, that means it must really be bad. Diflucan, the anti-yeast drug, antifungal drug, has 2 fluoride molecules, and the side effects are tachycardia, regular heartbeat, joint muscle pain, low back pain. As I'm going through this, these are all the symptoms of magnesium deficiency. But nobody has ever said this. They've never said, oh, maybe the drugs are causing magnesium deficiency. Maybe we should look at that.
Really good. And I'm glad you shared those, because a lot of people may be on many of those at the same time. And as you say, they're very common, and very interesting to think about the fact that these drugs are actually making things worse, and really, really scary.
Right. Let me just finish with these two, Trudy.
Okay.
If you go to your doctor and say, I have all this pain and aches and pains, people will do that. They'll go in with their statin drugs and say, I have this muscle pain, and I've heard about that it can cause, oh, no, it's, you probably, we've caught your arthritis just in time. And they'll give you something like Celebrex, which was off the market, now it's on the market. Celebrex has 3 fluoride molecules, and its side effects are increased risk of heart attack, muscle aches and pains, although it's supposed to be for arthritis, nerve pain, sensation of pain, pins and needles, and stiff neck. And the last one on the list, this is one of my lecture lists I'm looking at, is Flonase, a nasal spray for allergies, 3 fluoride molecules. It was off the market in 2004, and it's back on since 2006. So sometimes they know these have problems, and then they take them off the market, and then the drug companies lobby to have them back on. And its side effects are muscle weakness and wasting, bone fracture, high blood pressure, and another one I have here, Advair, a dry powder inhaler for asthma, also has 3 fluoride molecules.
And you'd mentioned earlier how magnesium deficiency could be causing asthma in the first place, and now people are taking these meds and possibly making things worse.
Yes, excellent point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So much good information. This is fantastic. Are we ready to talk about why we're deficient in magnesium? You alluded earlier to the fact that we're just not getting enough in our diet. So can we talk about a few of those reasons as to why we're not getting enough?
Well, it's just not in the soil. I think I quickly mentioned that 100 years ago we would get 500 milligrams of magnesium in a good diet, and it would come from the plants or from the animals that ate the plants. And what happens in modern agriculture is the farmer is not really reinforced to put minerals back in the soil. There's nothing in it for him to put minerals in the soil. The plants are green. They grow well with the nitrogen-based fertilizers and lots of water. And of course, there's all the pesticides and herbicides to keep the bugs away. But all those sort of modern mechanisms of farming mean that the soil is further and further depleted. You know, when you cut off the flow of water from the mountains into the floodplains, and where normally all that mountain stream water would be high minerals and flood the valleys, and then you'd grow your crops. Well, that's all. I mean, that's long gone. You know, they dammed up those rivers. They made the valleys by the ocean into residential areas and put the farming elsewhere where there's no minerals coming from the mountains, no farmer putting minerals on them. And then with the herbicides and pesticides, it kills the nitrogen-fixing bacteria, it kills the worms. The worms are supposed to process the soil and make the minerals small enough for the plants to absorb, because the plant rootlets are picometer in size, and they'll only accept picometer-sized minerals. And that is actually the size of the cell mineral ion channels that allow the minerals into the cells. So now we have a situation where we're taking dirt minerals from the earth, putting them in capsules or grinding them into powders or pills, and then we expect the body to accept them. But when you look at magnesium oxide, the cheapest magnesium, and I think it's the one most available to the general public, like in pharmacies and drugstores, it's only 4% absorbed. And that's where you get the other 96% going into the intestines and causing the laxative effect. So people really aren't getting the magnesium that they think they are on the label. And that's where you mentioned at the outset, in my biography, I had to work to find a magnesium that was 100% absorbed at the cellular level that did not cause the laxative effect, because my condition, I didn't realize I had magnesium deficiency until Random House asked me to write this book. And then I realized my heart palpitations and massive leg cramps, Charlie horses, that I would get at night were from magnesium deficiency. But when I tried to take enough magnesium to get rid of my symptoms, I got the laxative effect. And a lot of people suffer this. There are a lot of people on intravenous magnesium. They have indwelling catheters in their arm or their neck where they have to go into hospital several times a week just to keep their magnesium up enough so that they don't get angina and a heart attack. And what I found with the magnesium that I've created, it's called Remag. People can take that by mouth every day. It's a liquid. They put it in water and they sip it through the day, and they can get off their intravenous magnesium, and their blood levels are better on the Remag than they ever were on their intravenous magnesium.
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit more. I'd like to talk a little bit more about Remag and why it's more absorbable. And then I'd like to just have you talk about testing. How do you know if it's low, and how do you monitor if it is improving? So let's talk a little bit about this formulation that you have worked on creating.
Right. It was over the past 10 years. I was trying to get a magnesium company to do it, but they that never transpired. So it's like with everything else. If you want something done, you have to do it yourself. So even though I'd sworn off ever producing or selling supplements after 44 years in medicine, I finally said, okay, so something's got to be done. It's a proprietary process where through physical means and chemical means, the magnesium chloride is broken down into a size that is, it's 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter in size. And how we know this is, in the various stages, you can look at it under an electron microscope and you see substance under the electron microscope. Well, beyond a certain point, it's just not visible anymore, even under an electron microscope. And at that stage, those minerals are small enough to be absorbed 100% at the cellular level through the picometer size cell mineral ion channels. And we know this is happening because there's no laxative effect, for one thing, until you take 2 and 3 times your therapeutic dose. I mean, at a certain point, you will get the laxative effect because that's how the body works. But when you're taking it therapeutically, no laxative effect. And then what's going on with the minerals, Trudy, is amazing. You need minerals. You need magnesium. I also recommend people put some sea salt in their drinking water. And I recommend they drink a good amount of water, half your body weight in ounces of water. And also I have, after I had such incredible success with the REMAG, I made Relight, which is an electrolyte, but it's got 12 minerals, so it's more like a multiple mineral. You get all your minerals into your cells working properly with enough water, they will kick out heavy metals and chemicals and anything that's not needed, and the cell will start functioning. The cell will be hydrated, and we have people who used to have ankle edema, for example, the fluid just not getting into the cells and ending up in the tissues. They get rid of their ankle edema. The cells start working and functioning properly. In the beginning, though, of taking the minerals, I tell people to go very slowly because you can detoxify as your cells kick out the heavy metals and things that you don't want. Then you do that slowly and then build up your magnesium. And I've gone through all these different layers of how magnesium can sort of make you feel worse a little bit in the beginning and why that is. Some people are so low in magnesium that their whole body is numb. And when they start taking their magnesium, their body wakes up and they just don't, they can't understand why their arm is sort of tingling and waking up and they think they're getting worse. So to that end, I've written a blog called When Magnesium Makes Me Worse. And actually, I have that in another 100 pages in an ebook that's free on my RNA Reset website. Under the FAQs, I have a book on REMAG and a book on Relight. And I think it's a huge breakthrough in mineral supplementation. I call it completement. I think it's completing the way minerals are supposed to work. And if we could get them from our plants, that would be wonderful. And I should tell you this story. I've treated people who've been on these crazy 140 ounces of green drink a day, and they'll come to me with heart palpitations and leg cramps, and I'll say, you're magnesium and mineral deficient. And they say, that's impossible. I'm drinking all this organic green drink. And I say, well, go back to your farmer and ask how much magnesium they put in the soil. Mm-hmm. Because you can't get it out of soil where it's not amended, where it's not put back in. And so the examples are right there. And then the blood testing, these people are low in their bloods. And what's happened in terms of testing for magnesium and why it's not on our electrolyte panel is because doctors are still using an obsolete and completely useless test called the serum magnesium test. In the blood serum that you know, you put your dipstick in a blood vessel and take that to measure your magnesium. Well, only 1% of your total body magnesium is in the bloodstream. And that magnesium is kept in a very narrow range, and it has to be kept at a certain optimal level to keep the heart functioning properly. So the body, again, the genius of the body, if the serum magnesium gets low, the body will pull magnesium out of the muscles and out of the bones and allow your heart to be perfused with the magnesium. So the serum magnesium is not going to tell you very much unless it's extremely low. What I've been telling people, and I'd put it in my 2014 edition of The Magnesium Miracle, you can get an online lab to send you for a test. You do not have to have a doctor's prescription. You can do it yourself. It's called requestatest.com. That's requestatest.com. You put in your zip code. They'll send you to a nearby blood draw station, and within 72 hours, you'll have your magnesium RBC, your magnesium red blood cell test. So it's testing what's inside your red blood cells. Now, it's interesting what happens there, Trudy, because the range is said to be 4.2 to 6.8. Now, that's in the sick population. 80% of the sick population is low in magnesium. But the range has nothing to do with normals, nothing to do with optimals. So I tell people, you want to be in the top 80th percentile. You want to be 6.0 to 6.5. And what's interesting, even in the past couple of years since I've been looking at the magnesium RBC test, they've dropped the range. It's now, some labs, it'll be 3.8 to 5.8 instead of 4.2 to 6.8. It's dropping because the population is getting more magnesium deficient.
Interesting. And thanks for mentioning this. This is great. We'll make sure to share. You mentioned the blog that talks about magnesium making you worse. We'll obviously share your ebook so people can get access to that. And then we'll share this lab information so folks can get access to it. And then, of course, we're going to share about, these magnesium and this multi-mineral product that you're talking about. So thanks so much for sharing all this. It's really, really fascinating.
It is. It is a breakthrough, and I so appreciate being invited on your summit to share this information, because there's no PR firm, and there are no magnesium drug reps that are going about and talking about this. The doctors don't know anything about it. They actually depend on you folks who are listening to go and tell them about magnesium and show them my book and tell them, you know, you didn't learn this in medical school, but it's not too late.
Yes, you're right. And that's the problem. You know, you mentioned earlier about doctors not knowing about the drug side effects. And the thing is, they're not taught anything about nutrition or about the effects of the nutrients. And that's what I think so wonderful about you, that you do both. You know, you've got the medical background and then you've got this integrative holistic approach, which is wonderful. I'd love to hear how you became interested in the integrative and nutritional approach.
Well, it was long before medical school. My husband and I were traveling around. We weren't hippies, but somehow we were interested, or I was interested in health. And you know, from Nova Scotia, we ended up in Los Angeles, and there was a health movement at that time, and I began to read anything I could about health and nutrition. And when we came back home and I was in honors biology, a couple of guys in one of my biology classes said, "Oh, we just got accepted. You know, or did you get your letter?" And I said, "Well, I feel pretty accepted. What are you talking about?" And these young punks had just got accepted into medical school. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, how can they be doctors? They don't know a thing." And by this time, you know, it'd been a couple of years, I was, you know, I'd sort of gently try to tell people about diet and nutrition. I mean, it was at the time in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I don't think there was even a health food store. So I was trying to make do with what I could, and I said, my gosh, I could do better than this. So I marched over to the dean of medicine office. Luckily, my school, Dalhousie, had a medical school. And I bump into my guidance counselor, Miss Elliott, from high school, who had told me I could be an executive secretary or a nurse. And I said, you led me astray. I want to apply to medicine. And she laughed, and, you know, I chided her, and she said, well, I'm on the medical acceptance board, you know, we'll see what we can do. So, but I had, you know, all A's and all, and I had all the prerequisites except inorganic chemistry. Nobody takes that unless they're going into medicine. So I get accepted in the next semester, and that was it. I didn't long to be a doctor all my life. I just thought, boy, these people need to know about nutrition and everything. And I was not dissuaded. I've since run into people who've gone into medicine with kind of inklings about nutrition and helping people. And they got totally scared into just doing drug-based medicine. They were so afraid because in our first week of school, we were told anything outside of what you learn in medicine is likely quackery, and, you know, to avoid chiropractors. There were no there were no naturopaths back then. This was in the mid-70s, but they made it very clear that anything outside of what you've learned in medical school does not bear any credence to how you will practice medicine. And that's how most doctors behave, that anything that they don't know doesn't exist.
Very interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that, and I'm glad that you did, and hopefully you've inspired some other medical doctors to, you know, question and look further, because the medical model is not working, and we need more people like you, so we appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
So can we just talk about a few things that may help from a dietary point of view? At the beginning of the call, you'd mentioned bone broths. I'd like to just talk a little bit about that. There are also some herbs that can, you know, maybe help a little bit. And then you'd also mentioned sea, you know, people being close to the ocean and the magnesium from seawater. So maybe some, you know, sources from the ocean. Anything that you would like to just share?
Yes, of course. I do say that people have to supplement, but there are foods that are rich in magnesium, and one of the biggest ones is seaweed, if people can use seaweed in their soups and stews. Another is raw cacao. I love my coconut oil, raw cacao, and a little bit of a sugar sweetener called Just Like Sugar. A tablespoon of the raw cacao and three or four tablespoons of coconut oil and a half a teaspoon of the Just Like Sugar. And you take a little wedge of a frozen banana and roll that in the mixture, and it'll solidify into a nice chocolate coating on your frozen banana. That's very high in magnesium. And the kelp, as I mentioned, nuts and seeds, deep green leafy vegetables. I know I said the soil is low in them, but, you know, that's where you start. If you can get herbs like nettles, for example, chickweed is high, dandelion leaves are high in magnesium. So you can find some things in your diet. I know myself, I can take so much cacao that I'll give myself the laxative effect. Yes, I do love chocolate. So I know it has a lot of magnesium, but see, I don't get the laxative effect from my Remag. So even in dietary sources, it may not be totally absorbed. So, you know, that's where people can balance things out, you know, some in the diet. In terms of the seawater, yes, everyone should come to Maui and go to the ocean every day like I can. And otherwise, you get some Epsom salts and take baths. With the children, autistic children, ADHD children, we put them in Epsom salts baths immediately, and their bowel problems clear up. Mostly they're constipated, and they sleep better, and they're less irritable, and they have less signs of their condition just from soaking in Epsom salts. I've had the occasion where I've soaked for too long, or I've put in so many pounds and I've gotten the laxative effect. So I know the magnesium is absorbed, but I also know it's not 100% absorbed. So those are the wonderful things you can do. And I know we're wrapping up, and I know you love studies. Let me just throw this one out.
Okay.
In Neuropharmacology Journal 2012, the title of this study is Magnesium Deficiency Induces Anxiety and HPA Acts as Dysregulation. That's the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal dysregulation. So what they proved in this study, now it's an animal model, but they proved that magnesium deficiency induces anxiety and dysregulation of the way that axis works. And to me, that was a validation of the fact that, you know, they deprived these animals of the magnesium, and then they saw it affected their digestion, their immune system, their moods, their sexuality, their energy storage and consumption, just based on the lack of magnesium. So every day we're finding out more and more about what magnesium can do, and it's very bizarre, though, even with this study. They, even though they said that magnesium deficiency causes it, the second part of the study said modulation by therapeutic drug treatment.
Ah,
yeah,
crazy.
So they always look for the drug because the drug companies are funding the studies,
right.
And that's the only way they can do their research.
Well, we appreciate that because we're getting a lot of studies done, and we can just, you know, take the research that's showing this connection, and then we can apply the nutritional
mm-hmm.
approach.
Exactly. I do that, and if people want to join my free newsletter, that's the type of thing I blog about. I'll pick one of these studies and just say, well, they had this right, but then they missed the mark.
Exactly.
Because they didn't draw the right conclusion.
Yes, and your newsletter is fantastic. And so I want to just share that folks have got an opportunity to get connected with you if they want to learn more, and so they can get your newsletter, and you've got these two e-books that we mentioned. And what we'll do is make sure that the link is available on the replay page mm-hmm. and on the blog, because we'll have a blog, and then this research that you've just mentioned and some of the other links that we talked about, we'll make sure that they're there. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about these e-books that folks are going to get, and anything else?
Yes, it's my research on the picometer minerals. They're called Invisible Minerals Part 1, Magnesium, and Part 2, Multiple Minerals. But they're about my two products, Remag and Relight. They're under the rnareset.com website FAQ. And they're just fabulous. It's just fabulous to know that minerals that you take are going to work, because we know intellectually what the minerals are supposed to do, but I've never really heard people say, oh, you know, I took a dose of this and I immediately felt better. But this is what happens if you take something that's absorbed into your cells. The other aspect of what I do, as Trudy's mentioned, I have the newsletter. It's free, and when you sign up for it on my website, that link will direct you there, then you'll get 4 weeks of free modules of my two-year online wellness program. It's like an automated coaching service with 104 modules, and it pretty much tells you, I'm not going to say everything I know, but it gives you very close to that. So much information to help you feel better and stay healthy. You see, my motto is stay away from doctors and stay out of hospital as much as you can. In order to do that, you have to stay healthy. You cannot wait until you start to get a bunch of symptoms and then go to a doctor, because a doctor is just trained to give you medication or send you for surgery. So you really have to take responsibility for your own health. And you can do that by learning about how to stay healthy and staying healthy and knowing what to do in the event of some symptoms. The wellness program is just about wellness. I don't do diseases, but under my book section under drcarolindean.com, which is where my newsletter is, under the book section I have a book called Future Health Now Encyclopedia, and with that I have about 130 different disease conditions and tell you how to deal with them with natural medicine, with hydrotherapy, herbs, acupressure, and vitamins and minerals.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. We'll make sure that those are all easily available so folks can just pop on over and check things out. And this has been truly wonderful. There were some areas that I know we wanted to talk about and we didn't get to, but we took a deep dive into some very interesting areas. That whole fluoride connection, I think, is fascinating and folks needed to know about it. So I love how these interviews go. You never know where they're going to go. And today's was fantastic, as I expected it to be. This has been so fabulous, Carolyn. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing to get this message out. I was going to ask for any final words of wisdom, but I think you might have just said them where you talked about taking charge of your own health. Anything else that you want to just end with?
Well, as you know, we could both go on forever, but I will leave people with the message that, yes, taking responsibility for your own health is so important. A medical doctor, whether allopathic or natural, only knows a fraction of what you know about your own body.
I love it. Excellent. What a great ending. Thank you so much. And again, thanks for joining us today. Enjoy your little swim in the ocean. I'm sure you're going to go and have a little swim today or tomorrow and have a little swim for us too.
I will do that. And I must thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest on your summit. I think it's truly important to do a summit on this topic, for one thing, and allowing me to do it on what I love, my magnesium and minerals. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks again. And for everyone listening in on this great call, I'm sure you've picked up some great information, and I encourage you to check out everything that Carolyn Dean has offered here, and encourage you to check into some of the other great interviews that we are having on the Anxiety Summit. This is Trudy Scott signing off for today. This is a PS to the Magnesium Anxiety interview with Dr. Carolyn Dean, because we left out an important discussion. It was such a great interview, and I got so excited about everything else that I forgot to ask about the different forms of magnesium. So I invited Dr. Dean to come back and just cover this important area. We did talk about Dr. Dean's unique proprietary formulation of magnesium called REMAG, and we're going to come back and talk about that at the end of this little discussion. But we do see benefits with other forms of magnesium, and there's even research showing how beneficial other forms can be. One example is something that I just found in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, published just in July this year, showing how daily magnesium oxide supplementation for 12 weeks seemed to improve physical performance in healthy elderly women. This was a randomized controlled trial of 139 healthy women aged 65 to 75 attending this mild fitness program, and they were given just 300 milligrams a day and got results. So, Carolyn, if you can just talk a little bit about the different forms and how we're seeing that most forms of magnesium are going to give us results, but we want to be going for the best possible results. So let's just talk a little bit about magnesium oxide and some of the other forms that we have out there.
Yes, of course, Trudy. It is very important, because when I first started writing about magnesium and wrote the book The Magnesium Miracle, it was about magnesium. It wasn't about products. It wasn't until the second edition that some research came out showing that magnesium oxide is only 4% absorbed. So a lot of us began saying, well, you know, magnesium oxide can't be doing any good. However, if you looked at the thousands of research papers over the decades using magnesium oxide, they were all positive. And what magnesium oxide will do for a person is it'll give them some magnesium for their cells, but it's also a gentle laxative. So for the 60% of the population that has constipation, magnesium oxide is going to be helpful on many fronts. I've seen with some people who are quote-unquote sensitive to taking magnesium, even 2.5 milligrams of 100% absorbed magnesium is going to start making a difference for them. So certainly magnesium oxide is useful, it's inexpensive. However, if you're working with a condition like an atrial fibrillation, some sort of heart palpitation, and you want higher doses of magnesium and you can't get there because you get the laxative effect, then you look elsewhere. In all my writings, I start with magnesium oxide and describe that, and then I go to a magnesium citrate. Mostly it's found in powdered form. And what you do with magnesium citrate is you can stir it up in water. It doesn't have to be hot. It can be room temperature water. And you'll put a day's dose in, say, a liter of water, and you'll sip that magnesium citrate cocktail throughout the day. And that way you're not just giving yourself a shot of magnesium that can overwhelm your absorption ability and then can lead to a laxative effect. The same can be said for some forms of chelated magnesium that if you take small amounts throughout the day, they'll be less laxative. And I think that's what I began to focus on more and more, because in my particular condition, heart palpitations and severe leg cramps, I found that any amount of magnesium powders or pills that I took, I would get the laxative effect long before I would get near the therapeutic effect. And that's where we talked about earlier that I had to try to find a company that would create a magnesium that had no laxative effect. And I was not successful in finding a company, so I had to do it on my own. And that's why after 40 years in medicine, I finally have my own product, which I never thought I'd do. But it was self-defense. And so what we're looking at is how a person absorbs. In my case, with mild IBS, I couldn't handle any other form of magnesium. With the REMAG, it's broken down into a picometer size. You can see what the manufacturer describes the process on my RNAreset.com under the FAQ section. And it's a proprietary process, yes, but the clinically with my customers and my clients, I see the effects. For example, I have people who've been forced to take intravenous magnesium so that their levels don't go rock bottom, so they don't develop life-threatening heart arrhythmias. They're on 3 and 4 times a week IV magnesium. And one gentleman whose testimonial is in my REMAG ebook that's on my RNA Reset website, he was on IV magnesiums 3 and 4 times a week for 7 years. He would develop blood clots periodically, or his indwelling line in his arm would get infected. And finally, during a few days when he had to take the line out because of an infection, he switched to REMAG and found that he stabilized his blood levels of magnesium. And then shortly he began to have blood magnesium levels that were double what he was getting on his intravenous magnesium. So we know the absorption is superior to any other magnesium because it's getting directly into the cells. I probably mentioned earlier that the picometer is the size of the cell mineral ion channels that allow minerals into the cells. And picometer is the size of the the diameter of the plant rootlets that absorb minerals, and they won't absorb minerals unless they're picometer in size. So those are the main magnesiums that I talk about, and it becomes a question of what you use according to how much you absorb and how much of a laxative effect you get. Is that clear enough, Trudy, or is there some other way I can describe this to our listeners?
No, that's great. I'd love you to just elaborate a little bit more on the chelated magnesium, because someone may not know what that means. Mm. And there's magnesium can be chelated with the various different forms. We have a magnesium glycinate, and it may be chelated with magnesium threonate or even taurate. Can you just talk a little bit about what that actually means?
Right, they're magnesium compounds, and one thing we have to realize with the compounds is if a label says it's a magnesium glycinate 500 milligrams, you mm-hmm. really have to look at the back of the label and see whether or not it's an elemental amount of magnesium. Because a magnesium glycinate 500 milligrams, the amount of elemental magnesium in that 500 milligrams is only 50 milligrams of magnesium. The chelating part, I think manufacturers started doing that because we learned that plants chelate their minerals with a little protein attachment, so the manufacturers started doing that. But when I talked to Dr. Paris Kidd, who is a mineral expert, and I said, well, what's the advantage? How much increased absorption are we getting? And he said it's probably less than 10% increased absorption by the chelation process. So it might just be kind of an advertising gimmick for absorption. And I can say that because I know in my own body I will take a chelated magnesium pill or capsule, and I will get the laxative effect. So I know it's not being absorbed in my body.
So if someone takes a magnesium and they're getting the laxative effect, is that a good indication that they're getting less absorption?
Absolutely. Yes, they're not. I guess let's go back to magnesium oxide. If it's 4% absorbed, that means 96% is unabsorbed. So 96% is going to go out either through the urine or the intestines. And when it starts the laxative effect, or when you start to have diarrhea, you're actually going to be pulling out even more magnesium. The small amount you're getting from your diet, you can lose other nutrients when you start having more than 2.5 to 3 bowel movements a day, and especially if they're watery, you're going to be losing nutrients, including your magnesium.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, some people may want to have a little bit of a form of magnesium that is going to give them this gentle laxative effect, mm-hmm. as you talked about in the beginning. So there mm-hmm. could be some benefits to getting some of that, but obviously not overdoing it, and then using something like the REMAG, which is going to then give them more absorption, so they're getting the magnesium from something like that.
Absolutely. In articles I've written and in my online wellness program, I have a module on magnesium, and I say, yes, take a little bit of magnesium oxide to allow a good 1 or 2 bowel movements a day. Soak in Epsom salt. Mm-hmm. Take the REMAG to get it into your cells. And that way you won't need as much if you feel there's a price crunch. But you will get the benefits. And then that's where I say follow this with your magnesium RBC, red blood mm-hmm. cell, blood testing to see if you're getting saturation. Some people, like myself, we can go by our symptoms. You know, if I miss a day's dose of magnesium, I'll start getting my heart palpitations. It used to be before REMAG, I'd get a heart palpitation if I missed one dose. but now I have enough storage for a day or so of magnesium, and my signal will be I'll get a thumping. And some people they can't recognize what their magnesium deficiency symptoms are. Some people it's just straight anxiety and panic attacks, and that's difficult to be able to pinpoint and say, oh, there's my magnesium, because it seems such a horrible symptom for such a simple solution. And I've had plenty of people say that to me as well, Trudy, where, well, it can't just be magnesium. They'll have what their doctors are calling a life-threatening heart arrhythmia, and they're on 4 different medications. And I'm saying in my books and articles, well, perhaps it's a magnesium deficiency. And until they do the magnesium, they get saturated, they do their blood tests, and then they start to get relief, they really can't imagine that something as simple as magnesium could be a solution.
Great. Excellent. That's great. And then I'm guessing once you've found the right combination and then you're getting results and then you miss a dose and you get the bad effects, then you're going to start to learn what it is. And that's what we want to do. We want to listen to our bodies. Mm-hmm. We want to see what the mm-hmm. symptoms are and then figure out what, you know, where we might be missing something. So that's very
right,
powerful.
Right, right. And it's quite amazing. I'm gathering, and not because I'm asking, but I'm gathering testimonials from people who are just so amazed at their at the benefits they're feeling. And I actually have patient advocates who've given me their numbers, their clients of mine, or people that phone into my Monday radio show, and they say, look, I'll talk to someone. If they're wondering how I did this, how I got off my medications, weaned off them, because I don't tell people to get off their medications. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. I'm not their doctor. I'm not going to get involved in telling them how to get off drugs that another doctor has put them on. That has to be between them and their doctor. But there are these patient advocates who'll talk to anybody and just describe what they went through. They're not doctors either, but it's quite amazing when you can talk to someone else who's been through exactly what you've gone through, and just to support you to do, you know, what may be just common sense. Whereas what I've found in medicine is that doctors do not see people with heart disease and heart arrhythmias. They don't see them getting better. And so therefore they keep saying, well, you know, in the back of their mind, they may not say it outright until they're trying to force a patient to keep on their medications, but they say, you're not going to get better, so you have to stay on these drugs, not realizing for one second that the reason they're not getting better is because they're on the drugs that are depleting their mm-hmm. magnesium and other minerals and making them sicker and sicker.
Yeah, not a very good situation at all.
It's very sad.
It is.
And now also, Trudy, you had mentioned about wanting to look at magnesium 3-8, this new patented magnesium that's out there, and what I thought about it.
Yes, please, do go into that.
Yes, we've already touched on this a bit. See, what happened with this magnesium 3-8 group? They're on records saying that theirs is the only magnesium that crosses the blood-brain barrier, or it more so than others. Now, when I look at the studies, it's like more so can be 5% more, and then they can do their headlines, you know, based on theirs is more than the next one. Mm-hmm. But even magnesium oxide at 4% absorption shows that it can treat migraine, seizure, stroke, head injuries, and other nervous system problems, and it being only 4% absorbed, then some of that 4% is getting into the brain. So we can't be afraid that we're not getting the proper magnesium just because these headlines say it's the best. And the same goes for my REMAG. I'm telling people, look, take some oxide, take Epsom salts, and add some REMAG if you really want to get cellular saturation and improve your blood levels. But at any level of intake, magnesium is going to have some beneficial effect. And you know, the problem with a patented product is going to be that the cost is going to escalate. I have a note here that in August 2013, I heard from a supplier of this patented magnesium threonate that there had been a vendor price increase up 400% from the original. So, you know, it's the old saying, create the demand and then raise the price as you offer the cure.
Interesting. Good. Well, that was great, and it's good to get that clarification. And I appreciate doing this little PS to get give an even fairness to all the different forms, and then just for people to realize that they are going to get some benefits, but then wanting to look for the best thing for what your particular need is, I think, is really important.
Very good. Thank you very much, Trudy.
Thanks very much, Carol, and thanks also for the previous great interview, and thanks for doing this PS. It was really great, and I appreciate you and your expertise in this area. Thank you.